This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, good morning, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a short show Wednesday. Now, typically in Ben and Woods history, the shorter the show, the worse the show. We're going to try to flip that script today on Ben and Woods. I don't know that it's going to happen, but we are going to try it. It's weird. It doesn't make any sense. But our four-hour shows usually are better than our three-hour shows that are better than our two-hour shows. Today's only 2 hours, so we got to bring the heat today. You're only going to get us for a very limited time. Great to be here with you. I'm Woodsy. To my right is Paul Reindel, the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. To my left, here on National Vanilla Ice Cream Day himself, Mr. Vanilla Ice Cream, Benjamin R. Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. I love vanilla ice cream. I'll lap it up.
Some people feel like vanilla is like no flavor, but vanilla is a good flavor.
It's a delicious flavor.
Delicious.
I've gotten ripped most of my life because I like vanilla ice cream.
Not a damn.
Like, I'll choose vanilla ice cream.
Not a damn thing wrong with vanilla ice cream. Nothing. I like French vanilla ice cream.
I like vanilla bean. Vanilla bean is my favorite.
Delicious. Unbelievably good flavor.
It's absolutely delicious, but people say that you're vanilla. I don't think you are. Now, I've seen the other side of him. Very few have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
I understand if you go to Baskin-Robbins, any ice cream shop, and you walk out with vanilla ice cream, it's a weird look, but you don't like always have to get double chocolate chunk fudge.
Correct. Stuffed with ham and gorgonzola. You don't. You can just get regular old vanilla if you want.
I just want a taste. I just want a little sweet treat.
Yeah. It's funny though, Ben does have his yellow filter on. Somebody said in the chat, Ben looks yellow. So you look like French vanilla right now. You know, it's got the yellow tint. I don't know what it is about. You do. Oh, there it is. You fixed it. No, you're. It's just.
I've got it as non-yellow as I can get
it. Really does.
For some reason, I'm just yellow today.
It's
the special jaundice filter that he uses for the YouTube feed. But if you're listening on the radio, you have no idea what we're talking about. We need to remember that we are doing a radio show. Listen, first of all, let's get. I need to start today by offering some well wishes and asking for some well wishes from my dad, who goes under the knife this morning. I think he's in there. He's in there as we speak. Got a text from mom that he's doing well. He's being a good patient. He's got a major surgery today on his prostate. He has prostate cancer, and they're looking to remove the prostate. You know, I do understand it's a highly successful surgery. I believe your dad went through it as well. But, you know, I'm a million miles away. I'm worried about my pops. So hold a good thought for Tier 1 Gary, if you could. Mom, if you're listening or watching, love you. Let him know. We send our well wishes. And then we lost our rock and roll father yesterday. The great Ozzy Osbourne passed away at the age of 76 years old. And I'll tell you, I'd gotten home from the show, and you guys saw me at the end, man. We were doing a promo. I couldn't even hold my head up. Jet lag kicked me square in the nuts. And I got home, and I was like, all right, I got a couple hours to relax before I got to go get the kids at camp. They're at Padres baseball camp. And I laid down in bed, and I couldn't get it. You know, I couldn't fall asleep. I just couldn't get right. And I laid there for a bit, and I happened to roll over and grab my phone, and I saw the news that Ozzy Osbourne had passed away. And I teared up immediately. Ozzy was a huge part of my entire life. And you know, as far as the character that he was, certainly, but obviously his music, Black Sabbath, one of my favorite bands. I especially loved Ozzy in his essentially hair metal days back in the 80s, man. Like, it was straight up hair metal, the stuff he did with Randy Rhoads, his solo stuff. I loved that man. And I was thinking about it yesterday. I must have had 15 group chats with, you know, random 48 to 52-year-old men around the country. And, oh, my God, Ozzy. Oh, remember when we did this? Oh, my God, remember the tapestry you had in your room? Yeah, the tribute tapestry that we all had. I was so, so sad to see this news. Now, again, you knew it was coming. Obviously, it's Ozzy Osbourne. You're surprised he lasted this long. Doesn't mean that there wasn't a disturbance in the force yesterday.
I posted something along the same lines. How is it? It's just weird when something can be so kind of expected and you're ready for it, and yet
you're still just
jaw on the floor, like in shock that it happened.
Yeah, man.
You said something before the show that kind of stuck with me, that listening to Black Sabbath, Ozzy's music was one of the battles you'd have with your like mom about what you were allowed to listen to growing up.
Big time.
I, of course, never had any battles with my parents about what I was listening to because it was usually just sports talk radio.
They also,
as a child.
They also liked Pat Boone and Engelbert Humperdinck, you know, and The Lovin' Spoonful. And,
exactly.
You know, oh, Ben's listening to the Turtles again. Yeah, so happy together.
But what was that? What were those battles
horrible,
like?
Horrible, man. Horrible. I'll never forget this. I told this story to my buddy Bauman yesterday. There's a thing. We talked a while back about field trips, right? And in Texas, where I grew up, there's a field trip that you take every year. And I want to say it's in sixth grade. Sixth grade, you go to the Texas State Fair, which makes the Del Mar Fair look like a meth head's carnival in his backyard. The Texas State Fair is been it's 40.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
It's true.
I understand. Yes.
It's like 40,000 acres of fair. So going to the state fair was the best. You know, mom greases you at 20 in the morning when you walk out the door. Okay, get your corn dog. You know, get your Coke, whatever you want. So I go down and I'm on the midway, and I'll never forget it. I mean, it's vivid in my mind. And you play the baseball game and you knock down the Kewpie dolls and you win your prize. And my prize was an Ozzy Osbourne mirror. And it was the cover of Diary of a Madman. And it was, but it was a mirror. And I won it. I won it with my own money. And I had it and I held it and I carried it around and I coveted it all day. And I just didn't, I wanted to protect it. And I got home and I was so happy. And my mom said, absolutely not. Grabs it, into the trash it goes. And so I can vividly recall really getting into, you know, heavy metal music at age 10, 11, 12, 13, whatever. And vehemently, like having full-on debates with my parents about Ozzy and how misunderstood he was and how great the music was and how much the music meant to me. And I remember, like, my mom going in, they would go through my tapes. You know, Motley Crue, that's in the garbage. Ozzy Osbourne, that's in the garbage. You know, and I would be like, dude, I bought that with my own money. And they're like, we don't care. We're not having that filth in our house. It was the satanic panic of the 80s. And it was horrible. It was horrible. And it made me like, it turned me into that kind of like rebellious kid.
And of course, you were right. The music wasn't making you go out and commit crimes.
Correct.
Or anything. But your parents were also simply just wanting to worry about you and wanting the best for you and to be a good person. And
no question.
You know, they didn't know. There was no, you know, no scientific explanation about what was going on, but they heard these stories in the news and they didn't want their son corrupted or infected by this, you know, satanic music.
Yeah. And I'll never forget, man, like the satanic panic, they called it back then. These guys getting on the news and saying, hey man, listen, I just played this record backwards and it says, you know, kill yourself and it says all of this stuff. And they interviewed Ozzy one time and the guy says, he goes, listen, you hear it. It's subversive. It says, get the gun, shoot. And they play it back. No. And they play it for Ozzy and he goes, I'm speechless. I'm absolutely speechless. Get the gun. I never said get the effing gun. It's so good, man. And so I remember literally going to the mat for this man. My whole life, when I was a kid, going to the mat saying, you don't understand. Like, so I think about it with my own kids too. If they came in and they were listening to something, as much as I love music, I'd go, what is that? Because my initial reaction would be like, that's terrible. And then I'd say, you know what? Let's sit down and let's talk about it. Like, what is it about it that you love? Why does it speak to you? All that kind of stuff. We just didn't have a conversation back then. The parents didn't converse with their kids back then. It was, I'm taking this, I'm throwing it in the garbage, and it's over. Right? And that's what it, so what would I do? I would save up $20 more. I'd go to Sam Goody. I'd buy it again. I'd put it in a Foreigner cover, and I'd listen to it on my Walkman. That's exactly what I did. No, that's just Foreigner, right? Like, so Ozzy was everything to me when I was a kid. He was everything to all of us when we were kids. Now, I was thinking about it, too, and I said, man, it's weird. Like, I work with Ben Higgins, who's the same age as me. No, you have none of these experiences.
None of them.
Absolutely zero. Could you name three Ozzy or Black Sabbath songs off the top of your head?
Crazy Train.
Because of the Chargers, yes.
And because that's about it, yes.
Wow.
That's wild to me, man.
Oh, it's funny, being born in 1990, I've certainly gone and learned to appreciate his music, especially from well before I was alive. But I know him as reality TV mega superstar Ozzy Osbourne.
My wife, too.
Like,
I mean,
he was a reality TV star that also had a wildly successful music background.
Yeah, he used to. You're like, he is the funny guy on television that apparently.
I was like, oh, that's the guy. Yeah, I think I've heard of like Ozfest or something.
He was apparently in the band that created heavy metal. And what Black Sabbath did in 1968, you got to remember, it's 1968. You're. Peace, love, dope,
right.
Like, oh, you know, protest this and protest that. Black Sabbath in dreary-ass Birmingham, England, decides, let's just become the heaviest, scariest band of all time. And they wrote the theme song to their first record. That Black Sabbath is the name of their band. Black Sabbath was the name of the song, and Black Sabbath was the name of the album. And it, to this day, what, 40 years later, remains... the scariest song I have ever heard in my life, the original Black Sabbath on Black Sabbath, the opener of that track. I've never heard anything like it. Still, I played it for my kids. They're like, yeah. I told Taylor yesterday. They both love Iron Man, the song. Taylor knows every word. And he was going to music class yesterday. I go, tell him to teach you Iron Man because Ozzy died. And, you know, he's been a huge part of my life since I was a little kid. And it was really, really sad to see that news. From Ozzy or about Ozzy yesterday, man. I was so bummed. I know a lot of people were, and the tributes were I couldn't get enough of them. I saw all of his bandmates wrote really, his former bandmates wrote really sweet messages like, where will I find you now? It was so sad to see Tony and Geezer and Bill Ward, you know, leaving their tributes for him. But he was a force, man. He was the godfather of heavy metal. Had a lot of problems, no doubt. A lot of problems. But I could talk about Ozzy all day. I could talk about Black Sabbath all day. They were everything. Your favorite band, if they play guitar and drums and bass, they were influenced by Black Sabbath. Doesn't matter who they are. So.
I saw Mike McCready posted something along, like Pearl Jam.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They're just like, you were everything.
Everything.
Everything
Dude,
to
when
us.
Every kid my age, every kid listening, if you wanted to be a rock and roll singer, guitar, you find a guitar, I could go hand it to John Flint down the hall, play Iron Man. No. I can play it in my sleep. It's the first riff we all learned. Everybody that I know was like, let's do Iron Man. I was in a band. Of course we did Iron Man. It just, they touched everything and everybody back then. And, you know, I'll never forget the 80s, man. The biting the head off a live bat. You know, biting the head off of a dove.
That was in a meeting with like CBS.
Yeah, he was in a meeting
or something.
You know the story?
No.
So he's in a meeting. He's trying to get.
He had already done the bat. Right?
Yeah, bat was done. And that was an accident. He thought it was rubber. It wasn't. He goes, I never thought somebody would throw a live, you know, real bat on stage. Bites the head off of it. He goes, oh, that's real. Had to get like 20 rabies shots in his belly button. He's like, so that was clearly a mistake. So Sharon, he was in the...
But Legends was born.
So Ozzy at one point, Black Sabbath, he'd left Black Sabbath. And he was in the deepest, darkest depression of all time. He was in a hotel room on Sunset. Piles of cocaine, empty pizza boxes, beer bottles everywhere. He was suicidal, basically. His career was over. He left the biggest band in the world. So Sharon Osbourne, who was the daughter of the record... executive came knock on the door. Ozzy, you know, you need to get yourself together. You're super talented. I believe in you. My dad believes in you. Let's get it together. Let's get a solo career. We'll get this guy, and this guy will write a record. So he does it. So you go to the record company, and they're talking about the release of his album. And they thought it would be really sweet to release these doves into the live, you know, into the room. It's, you know, symbolic. So they do, and one lands on the table. Ozzy picks it up. Bites the head off of the dove. I mean, and Sharon's sitting there. She's like, oh my God, like, what have I gotten myself into? So they fall in love. You know, the rest is history with them. But all these stories come out when you're a kid, and, you know, your parents are like, he urinated on the Alamo. He can't. I'm like, Ma, he didn't know where he was. He had 7,000 beers. Like, he had no idea. He was like, he didn't do it on purpose. Could be any of us. So I'm in there fighting in the kitchen for Ozzy Osbourne. And I'm telling you, man, it was really sad listening or, you know, seeing that yesterday. And I just shredded Ozzy the whole day, as I always do. It's kind of my process. I think it's everybody's process. But my wife always laughs. She walks in this morning. I'm getting ready. And I've got You Can't Kill Rock and Roll on there just blaring and tears in my eyes. But Ozzy, the way we do it on this show is the way we've always done it. This is a big one. This is a big one.
One of the biggest.
The Prince of Darkness. Rest in peace, sir.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
Oh, rest in peace and power, the great John Michael Osbourne. Affectionately known as Ozzy.
All right, let's check traffic. We have a lot to get to. I'll set the menu. I'll tell you what I was doing yesterday as well, and we'll get into Padres baseball and a new rumor that just popped up last night before the trade deadline. All coming up. Good morning to you. Let's see what Kelly has to say first here on 97.3 The Fan.
Trust me, I said the same thing last week. I heard that line for the first time like a week ago.
That's the greatest ad I've ever heard because it's got me wanting to dispatch now. Did you just hear
12
that?
12-hour shifts.
12-hour shift, but 3 days a week.
And like it was like, 80,
like 90 grand or something. All right.
Four-day weekends?
I mean, it's not terrible. I'm telling you right now, that's not terrible. What are you, dispatch? All right, yep, we'll send a guy right up. Like, whatever that means. I don't know what it means exactly. I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but holy cow. It's better than dealing with some of you lunatics on a daily basis. I'll tell you that right now.
All right, here's what we got coming up for you today. Ray hits the nail on the head. Transition from Ozzy to Ozuna, and the rumor that popped up last night from Hector Gomez, got no idea how much validity there is to it, that the Padres are in talks with the Atlanta Braves about acquiring designated hitter Marcell Ozuna as a possible offensive injection for the last couple of months of the season. He's even got some names that the Padres might send back again. Don't know how realistic this is, if it really is one of those rumors that we can trust, or this is just a smokescreen that you get so many of these this time of year, but we'll talk about
it. I do think that you need to always consider the source. Always. You know, and let's also be honest. As it pertains to trade deadline season, we go through this every year, every single year. Hector Gomez is a fine fella. I've met him. He's a very nice fella. But he's right about 5% of the time, as are most of these guys that are speculating trades.
Especially when it comes to A.J. Preller.
Especially when it comes to A.J. Preller. A.J. Preller knows what he wants to do. Josh Stein knows what A.J. wants to do. And I would say John Seidler maybe at this point knows what he wants to do. I would say the circle outside of that is probably...
That group gets read into some of these things as well.
Potentially.
But that's
yeah.
about it. It's
but
a tight circle.
I mean, so you had Hector Gomez saying it, and then I screenshotted this too. Another Chris Landers of FanSided proposed the trade that would send Ozuna to the Padres. So I don't know if Hector got it from a fan-sided post.
Which aren't those like AI-generated?
I saw Sporting News as well.
So.
We'll talk about it. I got some thoughts one way or another that we can get to coming up before our Padres crap up. Tough loss
tough
yesterday
loss.
To the Marlins, 4-3. Had some chances, had a lot of chances, even though they did face another tough starting pitcher. But now, got to win today to take the series and keep the momentum rolling for the second half of the season and the good start. So we'll talk about Steven Kolek's performance and the Padres' offensive woes yesterday against the Marlins coming up. And then we'll got the Incorporator to pay off from yesterday with Jesse Agler and getting you ready for Padres baseball early. So we're going to move Take on Woods into our 7:10 segment where it used to be so we can squeeze it in before we wrap up at 8 o'clock and turn things over to Sammy Levitt. Don't think I'll do a lot of Chargers talk, although I will say I was there yesterday at their practice, and I was surprised at how many Tier 1s I met at Chargers practice. They're kind of quiet, you know. They're not as many as you'll find at Petco Park, but there were quite a few who came up to me and said hello, including your mailman, your
Doug!
Letter carrier. Doug.
Doug.
Was very excited to say hi and
the
say,
goat.
Hey, tell Woodsy to say hi.
He's the best,
so there
man.
You go, Doug.
Doug is the absolute goat of the neighborhood, and every time I see him, I roll the window down, and Paulie, what do you think I do when I roll the window down and I see Doug?
Let's see. When you see Doug,
when I see
I'm
Doug,
guessing you probably say something along these lines.
Doug. Yo, Doug. Josh, what up, man? It's Chet Hanks. This is from your boy, Doug. Doug.
Every time.
Every. Doug! Outside. And he laughs. He's always got his Chargers hat on. Is he stuffing my mail in the deal? I love him so much. Hannah, too. She goes, oh, my God, I love Doug. Real He's quick, the greatest.
Just so you know, I check, Doug. Like, once or twice a week on Cameo to wait for Chet Hanks to come back.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't. But you should have an alert set,
I know,
honestly.
I know. I really should. Because, like, when he goes back live on Cameo,
yeah, we're getting
whatever it costs.
Whatever it costs.
It does not matter.
Doug. By the way, did we ever tell Woods what we wanted to do for his birthday? That
we
didn't,
did not.
Didn't, it fell through. We paid. We requested.
What?
She didn't come through for us.
We'd submitted it. She's live on Cameo.
You're joking. Who?
And we had submitted a video request, and then she never got to it. It got canceled. We were going to get you a video, a birthday shout out from the woman who originated.
Can I get a hoya?
It's going through some of her. Some of the they show the
she
other
turned us down.
They show the other cameos that they've done recently, you know, and she's leaning heavy into the Boston accent and the Boston,
you know what,
woman thing.
I'm glad you didn't, to be honest. Well, how much what were you going to pay? Or how much did you pay?
It's like $80.
Yes. That is $78.50.
Probably
too much.
That's true.
She charges $80 for a cameo. We charge $69 for a cameo. We don't get many of those requests anymore.
Which is why we charge
$69. Yeah.
Exactly.
We do not want to be just cameoing all day long. So, by the way, by the way, shout out to the older gentleman Chargers fan that I ran into yesterday, who seemed very excited to see me with my camera covering the team, and then decided to go on a rant about sports talk radio in town, saying that the hosts at 93.7 all hate on the Chargers way too much.
They are terrible.
Yeah. And also,
I never listen to 93.7.
Also, don't give Aaron Rodgers a fair shake. So,
okay.
Yeah, just that was his overarching take on the state of sports radio in San Diego.
Are they in this building? Like,
well, no,
let them
I don't know.
Know.
When you listen to 93.7, that's what you're going to get, bud. So that's why you want to listen to 97.3.
And I said, you do know I'm the morning show host at that station. And he goes, kind of, yeah, I do. Yes, definitely. No, you're fine. You're good.
Excellent. No, I like you.
Yeah, I like you. You're good.
It's your partner. So no
fine.
One hates the Chargers more than you, which is hysterical. So I literally am so ambivalent and could care less. I don't care.
All right, we will get into Padres baseball, the Ozuna rumors, and yesterday's 4-3 setback against the Miami Marlins. We'll do that coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
Early game today. You may have nothing to do on a Wednesday evening. If you're looking for plans, may I suggest scheduling a little trip out to 7 Mile Casino. Play some California-style blackjack, Texas Hold'em Poker, Pai Gow, or Baccarat in San Diego's closest and best card room.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it a trip. It's so easy to get to. Just 7 minutes from downtown. It's more like a jaunt. Just a quick jaunt out to 7 Mile. You can get a great lunch out there, great dinner, and of course sit down, place of California style blackjack. Promise you're going to have a good time. Really clean environment. It's a smoke-free environment too. Great people, but again, the proximity to downtown, fantastic. Just 7 minutes.
So the food at Sammy's is fantastic, whether it's the regular menu, Sammy's wood-fired pizzas, pastas, and salads, or the 24/7 players menu with Asian favorites like my beloved Kung Pao chicken all day long, or the weekend brunch best in the South County on Saturdays and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Enjoy it on the patio. Enjoy it with the televisions in the bar there. It's just a spectacular spot. Check it out today, 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. So much Padres to talk about this half hour. I will start by letting you know that with our condensed show today, going to be giving away some Padres Mets tickets in the next few minutes, so stay tuned for that. I will remind you that we've got our manager's report with Mike Schilt coming up this Friday at 9 a.m. here on Ben and Woods. Refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. EcoWater SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925. But before we even get into last night's game, let's address the rumor that popped up late last night around 9 p.m. when Hector Gomez tweeted that the Padres and A.J. Preller are in pretty deep negotiations and discussions with the Atlanta Braves. Do you have the actual tweet in front of you?
No.
Okay. Well, to acquire Marcell Ozuna, designated hitter, right-handed power hitter, in exchange, He had names here, which is kind of unusual for how specific the rumor was. In exchange for prospects Francis Peña and Ryan Berger, Padres pitcher, who is also still their number 21 or 22 prospect in their minor league system. So that was a very specific rumor that he threw out last night.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it was that Sporting News AI-generated trade proposal that Hector Gomez found and ran with. This stuff never leaks out of the Padres camp, ever. I mean, not now.
No, it almost always leaks out of the other side.
Out of the Braves camp.
And keep that in mind, because the Braves have every incentive in the world to trade Marcell Ozuna right now. He is a free agent at the end of the year, or at least going to be if they don't pick up an option. Or I think his option was picked up last year. So his contract is expiring. The Braves are going nowhere. And he's not having a good season.
Correct.
He's been hitting under 200 the last couple of months. He only has 13 home runs. From the Padres' perspective, certainly you can see the Braves going, oh, Ozuna seems like the perfect fit for them. They need a DH. They need a right-hander. They need someone with power. He could actually fill some of the needs for the San Diego Padres. What could they give? You know, they're not going to give up their top prospects for him, but what could we get from the San Diego Padres in exchange for Marcell Ozuna? So in a certain sense, this makes a lot of sense, maybe from both teams. I don't know why you'd have to give up that much for Marcell Ozuna at this point. His value is at a very low point right now. He's got a hip injury that he's dealing with, not even in the lineup regularly for the Braves anymore. Again, as I said, he's having a very down season. Marcell Ozuna can definitely be had, but it should be quite cheaply if he is. Now, maybe the Padres overpay to get them to pay most of the money for Marcell Ozuna, and you're kind of buying that cash with a better prospect than you would have.
What's the prorated number here?
He's probably got about $7 million left this year.
He's making $16 million, man.
Forget it. Like, the guy's, number one, he's not good. Number two, we don't need that headache. We don't need that headache. I don't want that headache here. And we all know what headache I'm talking about. We all saw the video. I don't want that guy here.
No.
We have a good clubhouse. We have really, really good. And you know, despite what national people say, it drives me crazy. And I used to go fight the battles for Manny. But I'm looking at a thread last night, and it's like, Manny Machado is the most selfish me guy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you're not here. You don't know what we know. That there's no defense of Marcell Ozuna. None. You can't say, oh, you just don't know. Like, we can say with Manny, oh, you just don't know Manny. You don't watch him. You don't know what his teammates think about him. We all saw the video with Marcell Ozuna. I don't want that here.
No.
We got good guys, man. Guys that are easy to root for. I don't want to have to root for this guy. I don't. You know? I just don't.
I can say that, you know.
Saw the video.
Nothing since has happened. You know, there's been stayed out of the spotlight since 2022.
He's not worth it, man. The juice isn't worth the squeeze. It's just not. The guy's not good also.
All right, let me ask you this. Just a little bit of devil's advocate. But, I mean, maybe if this does happen, we'll have to get our brains and wrap our brains around it. Does he improve the Padres lineup as it stands right now?
Yeah, so do you, though. I mean, you could do what Trenton Brooks does.
I mean,
straight up. You could do what
Trenton Brooks does. There's a handful of guys that have been like DFA'd and picked up on other teams.
Let me take another step further. From what you saw, not this year, but in the last couple of years from Marcell Ozuna, if he does get hot, is he someone who actually could put a team on his back in a postseason run because he hits a bunch of home runs
it in bunches? In the postseason, he's the 250 hitter and has not. It's not like he's some elite postseason performer either. So my answer is no. The answer is can he improve our team? Yes, but it's not like he's the only guy that can improve your team. You got a lot of guys out there that are right-handed, that are better, they're in better shape, and are not going to cost you. Like, it sounds weird to say, because typically I'm not the prospect hugger guy, but I really like Ryan Berger. And I know the organization really likes Ryan Berger. I talked to Fritzy about Ryan Berger. Yeah. He's like, bro, I love this kid. He's a dog, straight up.
If you're going to move him, I don't want it to be in that deal.
In that vein, right? Yeah. And then Peña, there's a lot of upside to Peña as well, too. So, honestly, man, I think, for me, the juice isn't worth the squeeze. If I'm going to move a Bergert and Peña, it's going to be for somebody without a degenerative hip with a long police record of, you know, beating up his wife. I just think it's, don't ask the fan base to have to make that decision. You know, don't ask the fan base to have to wear that one. He's not that good. You know, he's not that good. And that's a bummer that we as fans have to, you know, you have to justify and things with yourself sometimes. And because there's, you know, there's absolute scumbags on damn near every team in professional sports. And you reconcile it with yourself, you know. I'd almost
rather take a chance on Luis Robert.
In a heartbeat.
Not even close.
In a heartbeat.
And overpay or pay that much for Marcelo.
Like, I was thinking about it. Sure, there were a lot of fans. If you let yourself go there and you think, all right, what if this happened? Like, I don't want to root for that guy.
Correct.
And you say that, and I say that, and I believe that, and I feel that. Until you're at a playoff game and he hits a three-run home run.
You're like, yeah!
And you're like, we've all done it, bro. This is weird. I don't like
this. We've all done it. Yeah. Every one of us, every person listening has made a moral exception for the guy wearing your laundry. Mm-hmm. I see Braves fans doing it all the time. There's one in particular that rides for this guy like it's his brother. All right? And I see it and I go, hey, man, I'm glad it's not me. I'm really glad it's not me and I don't have to do it. I'll defend Manny Machado to the death. Why? Show me his police record. Show me him beating the crap out of his wife. Show me. You can't. The guy's a nerd. He goes home and hangs out with his wife and kid. Doesn't go out. Doesn't pop bottles. Doesn't do anything wrong. Honestly, you can question him on the field when he was 19 years old, throwing a bat at somebody, grazing somebody's ankle. Absolutely. BFD. I see worse stuff than that in the big leagues every night. I got no problem defending guys on our team because they haven't done anything. But, man, you bring this guy in, and now you're going, all right, so here we go. You know, here we go. Plus, he's not good, and he's falling apart. Yeah. You know, a degenerative hip is like the last guy I would want to trade for. And I know he's just a DH, and he just needs to get 4 swings off a day. But I don't want to give up that for that guy.
And he would have been by far the best hitter coming up in the ninth inning with the tying run at second base last night.
Oh, absolutely.
If the Padres had him.
Absolutely. There's no question. There's no question. But, you know, you have to... There's other players out there that you can get that are going to be, you know, they're going to be as good, if not better, than Marcelo.
I agree with that sentiment. All right.
JW, listen, bro, I'm the biggest second chance guy there is, okay? I've had, million chances. Been arrested, got in trouble, the whole thing. That being said, that's kind of that line that I won't get past. If you grew up seeing it, it's hard for you to get past, to say, yeah, it's cool. It's cool. You know, like, okay, people change. Yeah, I understand his wife didn't leave him. That happens all the time, too. And it's just a bummer. Don't make us go, you know, don't make us go in there and have to justify this. I just think it's unnecessary.
I've got one more thought on not just this rumor, but all the rumors that you hear about A.J. Preller at the trade deadline. First, though, I want to give away these Padres tickets. Again, a short show today, so let's do it early. We've got two tickets for next Tuesday's game against the New York Mets. It is the Sandless Beach Towel giveaway night for the first 40,000 fans. This is July 29th, next Tuesday. Be the sixth caller right now at 833-288-0973. Sixth caller, 833-288-0973. You can go to Padres.com/giveaways to get more details on next week. Padres Sandless Beach Towel Night. You hear a lot of these rumors, and the reason that they seem very realistic for a reporter like Hector Gomez, because again, you're right, he's a good guy, and I don't think he's trying to mislead fans. AJ Preller might have 9 irons in the fire, and the GM that he's talking to may think he's the one. Like, oh, AJ is so into me, we are so close on this deal. But there's 8 other GMs who are also thinking that. So when you get the story from the other side, they'll say, A.J. Preller's been really hot and heavy on this player. I think we're close to a deal. Yeah, if you want to throw that rumor out there. But there's probably 9 other GMs who feel that way right now.
But
that A.J. is seriously talking about one or multiple players with their team and could tell Hector Gomez the exact same thing.
Absolutely, man. But again, like it doesn't hurt Hector Gomez's credibility. Nobody's credibility is harmed anymore. Nobody. No, like there are 0 repercussions for saying I'm hearing that the Padres are close to acquiring Shohei Ohtani. AJ Preller has called Andrew Friedman about Shohei Ohtani, and they are working towards a deal to trade Ohtani to the San Diego Padres. That's just what I've heard.
The Dodgers are going to be eating a lot of.
They're
the
eating a lot
salary.
Of the
That's good,
we're actually going to get them on a pro rate. It's going to be like $300,000 for the rest of the season. So it doesn't hurt anybody's credibility. You know, nothing. I don't get arrested. I don't get spanked when I make a dumb comment, right? It doesn't hurt Hector to tweet that out. It doesn't hurt anybody. None of these guys. You know, once it's the only thing you can ever believe when it comes to this week is when Jeff Passan tweets it out. That's it. You can't believe Shohei to the Blue Jays from the guy in New York. You can't believe anything until Jeff Passan himself tweets it out. The deal is done.
All right, we need to get to our Padres crap up because there's already a lineup for today's game out. That's how quickly this game is going.
You got to flush that one.
We'll get to that right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem.
A shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
crap up.
Presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
Two down for the catcher, Agustin Ramirez. He swings at the first pitch, tops it towards third. Manny charges, bare hand, throw to first, gets through Cronenworth, bounces up the right field line. Lopez is rounding third on his way. Cronenworth gets to it, throws back to first, and the Marlins take a 1-0 lead.
How it ended up.
Stowers rips one out towards right center field. He's found a gap. Another extra base hit for Kyle Stowers. Ramirez rumbling around third. On his way. Iglesias' relay is up the third baseline. That gets through Maldonado. Stowers ends up at third. And the Marlin lead is 2-0. Kick and deliver. And a hard hit liner into right field. That is a base hit. Maldonado able to come in and score. RBI single arise. And a one-run game here in the third. To Hernandez, lined up the middle into center field. That's a base hit. They are waving Ramirez. He's on his way. Merrill's throw will be cut near the mound. An RBI single for Heriberto Hernandez. And the Marlin lead is 3-1. Morgan ready and delivers. And that's laced out towards left center field. Sheets not going to be able to get there. Got to bounce it, hit up against the wall. Picked up by Sheets at the base of the fence. Hernandez has scored. The throw goes to third, not in time. RBI triple for Sanoja. And the Marlin lead is now 4-1. Merrill swings, rips it in the air to deep right field. Sanchez backs up, looks up. It's going to hit off the base of the wall. Sheets has scored. Bogart's on his way. Maryland is second with a two-run double and a one-run game here in the ninth inning. Enriquez delivers. Brooks swings, pops it up. Left side of the infield, the shortstop, Lopez. Couple of steps towards third. He makes the catch, and the ball game is over. Padres made big noise here in the top of the ninth inning against Ronnie Enriquez, but he does the job, and the Marlins hold on for a one-run win.
You know, Cabrera threw the ball well. He's got a nice arm. Threw some good at-bats. You know, Cole pretty much matched him. They were able to open it up a little bit, and there in the ninth, we were able to, you know, put some really good at-bats together. We just couldn't get that tie-in run or go-ahead run home.
All right, question for you.
Oh,
tough
hurt.
Loss yesterday. What was the difference between Randy Vasquez's win and Steven Kolek's loss in the first two games in your mind? What was the difference between their, like, two performances?
One of them had the A bullpen behind them, I think, right? And the other one didn't. Yep. I was just talking about that in the chat.
That was the exact difference in the game.
Yeah.
But really, the pitching performance, Kolek gave up more runs, but he was going deeper into the game because
right.
he had to, because he didn't have the Randy Vasquez pen behind
yes.
him to grab him early and go to the four horsemen like they did in game one of the series on Monday. They asked more of Steven Kolek,
yep.
and they backed him up with slightly lesser relievers. You know, David Morgan gave up just the one run. Padres actually scored more for Kolek, but ended up losing because they weren't set up for the victory the way they were set up so well for Randy Vasquez on Monday. It's a fine line, but it certainly does make a difference.
Yeah, and listen, the early runs given up with two outs, the tough E by Manny trying to get the catcher running down the line, that's a tough one. You know, but the people are going to freak out. I did like to see them battle back. That being said, three of the worst ABs that you've ever seen in your life came with Jackson Merrill standing on second base. Jordan says the Machado error was awful. I mean, it was awful because it led to a run, but that was not an easy play by any stretch, right? Like at all.
No, but one of the huge influences in yesterday's game was Manny and Tatis. 0-for-8, 3 strikeouts.
Correct.
Manny made an error. He had two deep, deep flies.
Game inches, man.
You know, inch either.
Got me a few times yesterday. I thought a couple of times, you know, ball was absolutely yacked out of there. Didn't go. So it sucked, man. And I'll tell you, to battle back like that, in the ninth inning, and then to have a runner on second base and nobody out is really with a really, really tough AB there. Got to get that ball to the right side. You got to find a way to get that ball over, get that run in. You know, listen, we debated it in here this morning. You could have absolutely asked Jake Cronenworth to drop a bunt down to get Merrill to third, then pray that Jose Iglesias hits a sack fly or a, you know, grounder through the drawn in infield. That kid slider that was going against them, somebody asked earlier, well, I would have rather seen Maldonado. He's been hitting the ball well. Not against that guy. Not against that slider that was so nasty to a right-hander. So you throw up your left-handed pinch hitter and Trenton Brooks, who just, I mean, first pitch, back foot slider, he looked ridiculous on it. So it was tough on righties and lefties. But that run that needs to come in. Do you play for the tie there, Ben, if you're Mike Schilt? I can understand why he didn't. In hindsight, though, you're like, well, I mean, you live to fight another inning at least. Maybe push it to extras and try to beat this team. Get the top of the order up.
I think Mike Schilt played it correctly. Because if you play for the tie and you get one run, yes, you're still alive. But then... All right, now you're dipping maybe into your four horsemen for a second straight day,
there's
which
no
is going to burn them for this morning.
You tried it, you lost, you move on.
And if you can win it there, you know, keep the rally going, get two runs, win it. That's the best possible scenario. It's worth going for. I think it's worth letting Jake swing away, knowing who's behind him in 8-9 as well. Probably not going to get a home run from either of those guys, but you might get one from the Crone Zone. I'm okay with letting him swing. It was, though, an unfortunately ineffective at bat.
So,
you know, not being able to at least pull it to the right side and give him a chance to move over.
Let's take the Wayback Machine. Let's go back in the DeLorean, fire it up to 88, go back and let's replay that in our minds if maybe I'm managing or you're managing. So you could absolutely tell Jake Cronenworth, hey, get Jackson over to third. So he does. Then you could have pinch hit Tyler Wade, who could have absolutely safety squeezed him in if you weren't confident on him, you know, being able to square that slider up to hit a fly ball. You could have safety squeezed him in. And then your tie ball game, two outs with Maldonado coming to the plate at that point. And you say, all right, you can hit. And then we're going to turn it over to the top in extra. Or if we get
if
to
you
extra.
Get to extra
right, if you get to extra, you can go Bobby fastballs there. But that's another.
But, of course, winning an extra innings on the road is a dicey proposition because you've got, you know, you have to go first. And
yeah.
It's tougher with the runner on second when you're not at home. So
yeah, no doubt. I mean, again, if you're firing up the time machine, it's a lot more fun to play the game after it's over. And you go, well, I would have done this. I can see why he didn't. I hated that loss. It's good to see them get something going there. Good to see Xander, you know, get that kind of clutch knock. Good to see Jackson Merrill get a clutch. Again, the ball Jackson Merrill hit missed by how much? 3 feet?
Yeah.
From going out?
I thought it was gone.
That's Jackson Merrill's three-run homer late, you know, that they haven't gotten from Jackson this year. One of the small differences.
I was pissed for 16 minutes. And then I got back on the bump, and they're going to get after it this morning.
I did think that Stephen Kolek, you know, impressed me. Guy can get a double play. Like, I mean, he's only made how many starts, and he already has 15 double plays, most in Major League Baseball.
That's crazy.
Guy's a double play inducing machine for the San Diego Padres. So, you know, he came up. Little surprise move as well. We can talk about it with Brian Hoeing getting sent down to the minor leagues. The ninth inning, though, wasn't the only time the Padres were unable to get a runner home. I want to talk about that and how it may be impacting today's starting lineup and a kind of half payoff of the Incorporator with Jesse coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Say what you want about Xander Bogaerts. And, you know, it's been a tumultuous 2.5 seasons with the Padres. But there's no doubt the guy cares deeply and wants to win. And I saw that last night. You mentioned the hit he had in the ninth inning that helped the two-run rally that came up short. He's been one of the steadiest performers for the Padres over the last month. His average is up to .268. His OPS is now 730, which, I mean, he was down to like 600 at some point.
Yeah, it was really low.
But what stood out to me last night was what happened when the Padres did not get a run home with runners at first and third in the sixth inning and Xander at the plate. Arise at third. Xander ends up hitting a little dribbler in front of the mound. Edward Cabrera makes a really nice play, tosses it to the catcher. They tag out Luis Arise at home plate. It went to a shot, a close-up of Xander. He looked absolutely disgusted
with
himself.
Furious with himself.
Disgusted with himself for not being able to get Luis Arraez home from third with what turned out to be, well, quite an important run in the big scheme of things when you lose by one and you can't get that run home there. I was actually happy to see Xander up in that situation. Made contact. Edward Cabrera is another. That's the second straight nasty pitcher the Padres have faced. They had never scored against him in two starts. I didn't realize that.
He's got a yacker on him that is just stupid, dude.
I mean, they finally got one off of him, but he is tough. And he's been so good that he is actually the top pitching trade target of the Miami Marlins, not Sandy Alcantara.
Yeah.
Other teams would rather have Edward Cabrera than the Cy Young Award winner. Yeah. That's how tough he has been and how good and consistent he has been for the Marlins. So Padres have run into some tough starting pitching. They've split the first two games of this series. Unfortunately, and I do believe now on Monday, Luis Arraez took that collision at first base, right?
Yeah.
So yesterday they had him as a DH, like, all right, give him a chance to, you know, not have to play the field. Of course, he takes the collision at home plate on the head first slide. Once again, Luis Arraez is not playing the field. He will DH again today in the lineup that came out just a few minutes ago from the San Diego Padres, which means Jake Cronenworth is back at first base, but yep. It's not Jose Iglesias at second. It is a Tyler Wade day at
He's
second
alive.
Base for your San Diego Padres.
The resurrection.
It's been a while. Got in a couple days ago, late in the game for Fernando, I believe. But in terms of a start, I couldn't even tell you the last time Tyler Wade started a game for the Padres.
I can't remember his last AB. Does anybody know?
Yeah, he came in late.
Oh, when I was in
when
England?
They were up on Sunday when they won.
When I was in England.
Big.
Yeah.
And he was just, you know, a late replacement and got an at-bat. But
okay, that's it. He hasn't started in a while. Got a defensive replacement a few weeks ago. But, yeah, hopefully Tyler Wade does something absolutely kooky to help this team win, as he typically does when he's in there. He does weird stuff, hits the ball with weird spin and gets a weird chopper and beats one out with it that, you know, nobody else is going to. So I like T. Wade a lot, man. I he's certainly not the savior of this team by any stretch, but today would be a great day to get him in there against Sandy Alcantara, who's going to be probably feeding him a pretty steady diet of heaters, and Tyler Wade hopefully can do something special.
Yeah, he's had some defensive appearances, but offensively, he had one AB on Sunday.
Yep.
And that's it for the month of July.
That is bananas.
His last AB before Sunday was June 29th when we landed in Philadelphia against the Reds.
Wow. You know, he had that error in Cincinnati when he was playing short, when he went into
Xander cramped up. To play short for a second.
And yeah. It was almost like when that happened, they're like, nope. It's wild. I mean, it's like high school ball. They're like, no, sorry.
Last game started, he had like two ABs. I'm guessing it was the 3-AB game Friday the 20th of June.
That's crazy, man. Crazy. Well, he's in there. Yeah, you know, look, I feel terrible for Trenton Brooks. He's a Padre, so I root for him. I was rooting hard for him last night. But, you know, listen.
We got to do something.
It's the big leagues, man. It's the big leagues. And if you're not getting the job done, and he's not. Since that home run he hit against the Dodgers, Benny, he's striking out 30% of the time. His slash line is 143, 189, 200. His WRC plus is 10. It's 10.
It's the curse of El Paso. Everyone who has come up from El Paso this year has been unable to hit on the big league level. And by the way, Bryce Johnson, who's done okay, he really wasn't down there. They signed him and they brought him up almost, you know, immediately.
Yeah.
But anyone who spent any time in El Paso.
Doesn't that always happen, though? That's not this year. That's not a weird year.
No, I mean, think about it. Tirso Ornelas, Luis Camposano, they're all hitting down there. Trenton Brooks hit down there. Everyone that they have brought up has failed to hit almost completely at the big league level, like at all. And I saw some people talking about it online yesterday. Are the Padres being hurt by having their AAA team in El Paso?
Yeah, I tweeted, let's just move the Padres to El Paso. Nobody beats us, ever. But our pitching would suffer.
went off again last night. I mean,
bro,
they cannot stop hitting at AAA.
Ben.
And they can't hit at all on the big league level.
Tommy posted his sliders for AAA. He looks like Mickey Mantle. Like his sliders, talking about Luis Camposano, his page is blood red. Every slider is at 90 plus blood red. He looks like Mickey Mantle in AAA. Honestly, like he is a true Crash Davis. Catcher, mashes in AAA, cup of coffee. I mean, he had more than a cup of coffee with the Padres. He had opportunities, caught a friggin' no-hitter. I don't know what it, I mean, I do know what it is. Hitting at the big league level is exceptionally difficult.
Yes, but when you hit, you know, three something on the minor league level, hitting at the big league level means, oh, I'm only a 240 hitter at the big league level. It's not, I'm a 0-0-0 hitter at the big league level.
But I don't think
it's not that much different. There are good pitchers.
It's way different.
It's way different. There are good pitchers at AAA, though, as well. Presumably, he's getting some hits off of them occasionally. I'm saying it would have been bad if he had come up and hit 150. How can he come up and hit 0-0-0? That boggles the mind.
Jeff Passan just dropped a free article.
I'm reading it right now.
For the San Diego Padres, he says, will they deal from the MLB roster to improve the latest? I'll just read it verbatim. The Padres could be the add and subtract kings of the deadline. With a farm system that beyond shortstop Leo DeVries isn't teeming with desirable talent, San Diego could dip into its exceptional bullpen for help. Suarez, a potential free agent and the major league leader in saves, the likeliest option, though teams have inquired about Dylan Cease, haven't been told no. The number of catchers is thin. Leaving outfield as a potential spot for improvement. The list goes on and on. Nothing we don't know, nothing we haven't talked about. He does say biggest asset, Robert Suarez. Best fit, Luis Robert Jr.
No, not nothing really. Literally nothing new. Nothing all right, new. We need to get a contestant for Take on Woods. We're moving it up with our condensed show today. Going to play in about 3 minutes. So if you want to call 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. And while you call in, we have kind of a half incorporator to pay off. And this is fine because Jesse had two things on his plate yesterday, but he didn't actually get to our word creps.
Yeah,
the
which
word
is
for shoes
British slang
in England. So he said, I'm going to do that today. But he did take the challenge of Dave Roberts, who played his own incorporator at the All-Star game and tried to work Starfish into his post-game news conference.
We played that audio for Jesse when we had him on yesterday.
We ripped Dave for how pathetic his effort was and challenged Jesse to do better with Starfish yesterday, and Jesse enjoyed that challenge.
Kyle Stowers leading off against Stephen Kolek. RBI double his first time up. Left-handed batter swings and misses at a fastball, strike one. You know, they've started to call Stowers, by the way, after his first career All-Star selection this season.
What's that?
The Starfish.
Ah, I like that. A star, and he's a fish. Marlin, to be exact, but yes. Clever.
Oh, baseball. Always with the nicknames. Starfish, 0-1. Grounded a foul right side.
I'm sorry, that word makes me laugh.
No one calls him Starfish.
Nobody does. Because of the other connotation.
It's pretty funny.
It is funny. Starfish.
Like, it's always funny.
Always. And I don't ever think of the actual starfish.
My son asked me this question. I don't know the answer to it, and I want to get your answer, or at least your opinion. When Mudd and Don do their... You know what they call him in the clubhouse? Because they do it with, like, Gino, Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah.
How many times is Mudd telling the truth, and how many times is he just making up a nickname for whatever guy he thinks should be their nickname? Or is he always saying what their real nickname is?
I think he's being honest.
You think he's being honest?
Because
sometimes
so.
I feel like he's just making it up. Like, oh, yeah, they call him... they call him Skippy in the clubhouse.
You never know. I mean, Mudd is a madman. Yeah,
yeah,
they're both madmen. But no, I don't know. We can ask Mudd.
You hear Bob Scanlon talking about Mudd's love of watching YouTube videos on the broadcast yesterday.
We can all attest. We can all attest to the fact that that is true. And it's not only that he watches them; that he forces you to also watch. If you want to watch,
he forced Scan to watch one in the elevator. Yeah, Miami.
He never has it pulled up. It's never ready.
He never even has his phone with him. Sometimes he's like, hang on, let me run back and grab my phone.
It's always buffering. And you have to sit through like 3 minutes of commercials to watch some Blues Brothers song. And you're like, Mudd, I got to go. I'm hungry.
Did it in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I've got at least 10 pictures, different pictures of
him showing me a video.
Standing there with Mudd right next to you, just showing you this phone. Every single time it happens, I take a step back. Sneak a quick photo.
I love that man.
And it's just the best. It makes me laugh every single time.
Yeah, Lisa, great point. He's always on YouTube, but he's never in here. How great would that be for Mudd Grant to pop in here and say hello?
All right, let's get to it. We've got a contestant on the line. It's time for a little early edition of Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
Show's like one of those bullet trains. You do not have time for a stop. It is an express. We go right to Take on Woods. It is brought to you by Bay Alarm, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you, and we got Lucas in Poway. Good morning, Lucas.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. All right, let's see if we can qualify you for our grand prize trip to Las Vegas and tickets to Motley Crue. It's a two-night stay at the Park MGM plus a $100 gas card. You can catch Motley Crue's Las Vegas residency at the Park MGM Dolby Live September 12th through October 3rd. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Here are the questions for our musical trivia challenge. Mothers and fathers is one category. Five song titles that include either mother or father. Not on any map, five song titles with fictional places in the title. And our new category, Call Me Lucifer, five song titles that contain the word devil. So, mothers and fathers, not on any map, or Call Me Lucifer, Lucas?
Let's go Call Me Lucifer.
Oh, we're going with the new category today. All right, you'll get 60 seconds to try to answer as many of the five as you can. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it. First question is the two-second song. Polly is queuing it up, and you do need to queue it up about 13 seconds. You got that? All right. Every answer will have devil somewhere in the title for you, Lucas. You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's put 60 seconds on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. The category, Call Me Lucifer. Good luck, Lucas. Let's take on Woods. Allow me to introduce myself is the first line from which 1968 Rolling Stones hit.
The devil, pass.
Elvis Presley sings, "You look like an angel, you walk like an angel, you talk like an angel," at the start of which 1968 hit.
Devil in Disguise.
Correct. Let's go back to our two-second song.
Pass.
Please allow me to introduce myself is the first line from which 1968 Rolling Stones... Oh, we're out of time. We got two, right? Devil went down to Georgia and running with the devil. The other three, the song was Devil Inside by
NXS.
Devil
in Disguise.
Oh, yeah, and he got Devil in Disguise. So we got three. And then Sympathy for the Devil. Three is good. I think this is one Woods is going to be able to take care of. We'll see. All right, Woods comes back in. Lucas's score is locked in. Woods doesn't get the category, makes it a little tougher. All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck.
Okay.
Let's take on Lucas.
Devil Inside by NXS.
Correct. Johnny wins himself a fiddle made of gold in which 1970...
Devil went down to Georgia.
Correct. Van Halen uses the horns...
Running with the devil.
Correct. Please allow me to introduce...
Sympathy for the devil.
Correct. Elvis Presley sings, "You look like an angel, you walk like an angel."
Devil in a blue dress?
No! Devil in Disguise.
Idiot.
Devil in
Disguise. What an idiot.
You still won 4-3. All One of the fastest games ever, but maybe a little too fast. You look like an angel...
What's Devil in a Blue Dress? Is that even a song?
It is.
Devil with a Blue Dress on?
But that's not the title, I believe, of that song.
Oh,
I think, what is that song? Devil with a Blue... Good golly, Miss Molly, Devil with a Blue Dress. Yeah, yeah, it is. It's Mitch Ryder.
Mitch Ryder.
The Detroit Wheels. Could have put that one in there as well.
That's all right.
You did get the category, though. Call Me Lucifer. Yeah.
Yeah, Call Me... Oh, perfect for Ozzy.
It was. He didn't have any Ozzy songs in there. I had the category written before
my
Ozzy
name is
it.
Lucifer. Please take my hand. Oh, I miss Ozzy already so much.
Lucas, thank you for playing our game. Feel free to try again. You were an able contestant, but Woods got you this time.
Good job, though. Three is good.
Three is always solid. Very solid score.
All right, I love running with the devil.
Woo. All right, we got to go from one thing to the next here, because Don't Do This is coming up in our next segment.
I wanted to play some audio, and I should probably send it to Paulie right now so that he can look. It.
Probably.
Did you guys hear Aaron Boone yesterday?
I did not.
Aaron Boone v. John Boy yesterday, and it looks like, and we talk about Shilty, right? Let's compare and contrast. This man, our manager is always pretty calm. This manager sounds like they are a sinking ship right now. It is crazy, crazy Aaron Boone audio. I'll play it for you next.
That is coming up after a check of traffic. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, I want to talk about SDFatLoss.com. Their huge summer sale is going on right now. There's really no excuse not to get the program started if you've been looking to lose weight. And I was for a long time. I tried other programs. Nothing really stuck. Sometimes I lost the weight. Sometimes I then gained it right back. With SDFatLoss.com, I not only lost the weight fast, 40 pounds in 60 days, but I've kept the weight off for 2 years. years. Changed my life. It can change yours as well. Get 20% off right now when you set up your free consultation at sdfatloss.com. You'll talk to one of their great counselors. It's a doctor-developed program that really does help you lose that weight fast and sustainably with no prepackaged meals, no injections, of course, no surgery. This is about eating real food from the grocery store, stuff you eat anyway, like I ate a lot of chicken and steak, some vegetables and fish. You can do it as well. Lower your metabolic age and feel better. Pain, back pain, knee pain, such a game changer for me. It can be a game changer for you as well. Just take advantage of the huge summer sale right now. Set up your free consultation before August 1st by going to sdfatloss.com. That's sdfatloss.com. Results may vary.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
We got Padres pregame coming up in about 40 minutes, so
insane.
We can continue to move through this show with all due haste.
I can get used to this. I'll tell you right, this is a blast. I feel energetic and spunky. Imagine us for 2 hours. We would slay.
We need this time. Stop talking. Don't do this. It's brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust Your Will online at trustandwill.com.
This.
It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. I guess you can choose what you think the don't do this is from this story. I have my opinions.
As do I.
This is a Little League and Little League Dad story from New Jersey. When on July 16th, during the section tournament, New Jersey championship game between Haddonfield Little League and Harrison Township, the son of Joseph Rocco, identified as MR in legal documents, hit a home run to center field and celebrated by doing a big bat flip into the air. There's video on social media. Big bat flip into the air.
It was the two-handed to the ground, straight up in the air. I mean, this thing was...
It was like Jose Bautista.
He was like 20 feet.
That is against Little League rules. By the way, obviously and for good reason against Little League rules.
Yeah.
I have no problem with a bat flip from Fernando Tatis Jr.,
nope.
A big leaguer with full motor skills. 12-year-olds, though, throwing bats into the air, not safe, you know? Not safe to do so, and there's a reason why they put that rule into place. Well, initially, the home plate umpire tried to disallow the home run. They eventually allowed the home run, just ejected the kid from the game. But, of course, being ejected, he's also suspended from the next game, which is now a huge,
yeah,
another championship game. And I think the don't do this here, though, is his dad, Joseph, has sued to try to get an injunction to keep the suspension from being enforced.
Paulie, the video you put up is the old one. They did a side-by-side of one from many, many years ago that had something to do with Todd Frazier.
I don't know what it was.
There's a new one from yesterday, 2 days ago, when the kid flipped it. There's a new one. That one's old as hell.
The dad claims...
Doesn't matter.
Told him or his son that he wasn't allowed to bat flip.
That's not true.
That doesn't matter. It's your responsibility to know the rules and the consequences.
It's not true. That's not true. Every Little League coach is told the rules, and you know the rules, and you know the rules. And I put myself in the shoes of the dad. Yeah, I'm disappointed. And I'm disappointed in my son in that moment. It's a really cool moment, man. But I'm not going to go draft a lawsuit to get him to be able to play the next game. I'm going to sit my son down, and I'm going to go, hey, man, you absolutely tanked that thing. It was awesome. Great job. But you know you can't flip your bat, and so you're going to have to sit the next game. These are called consequences.
And life lessons. Now, I mean, it could be the last game, and it could be over, and you could miss out on, you know, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
So I
get the frustration from the dad a little bit.
Such a learning experience, man. It is. It's a learning experience. It sucks. But, hey, man, we make mistakes. We have to learn from our mistakes. I cannot cover up every single mistake you make, you know, and that is one of them. Ray, I'm on the kids, let the kids have fun side, too. I am.
Yeah.
And until you get in there, and I coach two teams, I have been whacked in the shins more time than I can tell you from the kids, and they don't do it on purpose, but they hit it and they sling their bat back to the backstop, and I jump over. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it hits me in the shins. It doesn't feel good. You know, teach these kids the way to play the game. And when they get to the big leagues, they can pimp it and they can throw it and they can do whatever they want to do. It's not safe. It's just not safe. And until until one of your kids gets smoked in the face by some kid throwing a bat, I mean, bro, it's scary out there. You really have the lives of 12 to 13 kids in your hands every game. Saw a kid at camp yesterday. Line drive up the middle. He wasn't ready for it. He wasn't looking. Ball hit him in the forearm. He crumbled to the ground. Like, it's really dangerous out there. Right. It really is.
Should be a rule. You can't hit the ball hard into the infield then.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I
don't know.
You got to learn.
That bat flip, like, nobody was in danger.
That wasn't it, though.
Yeah, this one says this was the New Jersey Little Leaguer who was ejected.
No, this is the one. You got to show the one, the new one. There's a new one.
This was posted yesterday.
You got the wrong one.
It wasn't an egregiously...
It was really high.
Unsafe. It was high, but it was straight up at least.
I mean, again, there's...
But nobody was within 30 feet.
But that shouldn't matter.
Feet.
But there's rules. There's rules to literally...
Because if you let him do it, then let the kid who does a completely sideways helicopter take out three kids bat flip as well.
I know. I'm telling you. You get worn out with the rules, and you have to stick with them. You just do, or it's chaos. Speaking of chaos, I think things may be going sideways in New York.
This was crazy.
This is crazy audio, right? John Boy talks to Aaron Boone via Zoom, I think every week, maybe every other week. I'm not sure what their contract says, but... sits down with them, and they get into it a little bit. And
is it refreshed by Eco Water?
It's refreshed
SoCal
by Eco Water SoCal.
I don't know.
But listen
Eco
to
Eco Water Northeast.
Do you listen to this audio and tell me? Does it sound like Aaron Boone's cracking up a little bit?
Yeah. Okay. So Vladdy diving means they wanted it more last night.
No, it doesn't mean that. But it's like that. It's like that visual. Then to like the post games of like it's July. There's a lot of season left when you're two-thirds of the way through.
But understand the pestering, bantering, leading questions that are being asked of our guys.
I understand
and
that.
And I don't want them to just fly off the handle and be emotional. Like, you know, we've been pretty good over the years of, like, compartmentalizing and dealing with the everyday grind of the regular season and playing in New York and all the – and you start getting emotional and going down that road, it's a bad trait.
I get it. I guess there's just a difference. Like, you know, Weaver had a couple bad outings. The way he talked to the media, it felt honest and it felt.
Okay,
and he was like,
"Everyone's different. Stop with the reaction of how a guy answers a freaking question."
It's not one guy. It's like
okay, we got to win. We understand.
Got to win.
Okay.
I remembered my question from earlier.
We are obsessed with it and hell bent preparation wise, and guys give a rip. Okay.
So this is great, but this doesn't come through.
Because everyone handles things different. Some people will give you colorful answers.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that media answer. Some guys throw their helmet. Does that make you feel good? Some guys are calm. Like, stop it. It doesn't mean a guy cares more or less because he dives into home plate.
Well, yeah.
Okay. It's you got to be angry at something because we didn't win. Or so I got to direct my anger at something.
Yeah, and I hear you're saying that you guys feel urgency, that you want to win. That doesn't come across. The messaging has been, there's a lot of season left. We just got to keep going, and we're fine. You know, no, I don't regret that play. I wouldn't have done things any differently. It's like, well, that the messaging feels different than what you just delivered. That's all.
You don't listen to all my answers. Then you pull.
No, I'm not talking about you. I think you've actually been way more in this light this season.
Luke Weaver, you loved his answer.
Yeah, I also love Luke Weaver though.
Okay. Like, you're cherry picking the answers you like that are like, yeah. That's
yes.
Tugging at my fandom in the
yes.
right way.
Yes.
Like, sorry. They're not robots.
Well, yeah, that's what I want. Yeah. I want more non-robotic answers.
I don't care what you want.
Oh, God.
All right, well, I'm just letting you know.
These are answers of pestering everyday questions.
Hey,
I want our guys in a good, like, boom. We are locked in.
He's losing.
When it's shitty.
Oh,
and
sorry.
Really
the one wheel
all
sneak
through. Right. Right. We can end it there. We can end it there.
He's the pressure feels like it's getting to him a little bit.
I think Aaron Boone's kind of right. You know, in terms of not every player is going to give you, like Manny Machado is going to be pretty calm after every loss. And we've seen Padres fans sometimes get frustrated by it. And Aaron is defending his players, the ones who really need to not get emotional in order to make it through the season. And that's great. But I also I heard a lot of 2023 Padres in that answer.
100%.
It's still early. Don't worry. We're going to get there. It's going to be okay. It's a long season. How many times did we hear that in 2023? Now, they're better off than the Padres were in 2023.
What, you know, and I think about it all the time. You know, what is really the alternative for a skipper to say? You know, skippers don't come on and rip their players anymore. They just really don't. Those days are kind of gone. And, you know, I guess I understand it. You know, big money machine. You don't want to piss off these high-priced players, et cetera, et cetera. But, man, I had an interesting thought, and I wanted to run it by you guys in the Tier 1s as well. Do you think a team would play better with, let's say the media and the team all got together at the beginning of the year and said, you know what? We're not going to be in the dugout. We're not going to be in the clubhouse. We're not going to come down. We're not going to shove a camera and a microphone in your face for the first 90 days of this season. See how you guys do. Do you think a team would play better or worse without constantly, so what were you looking for on that pitch? Or so what happened there in the seventh? What do you think about that? I'm not saying you should do that.
No,
I'm just,
okay.
I wondered,
it's a good question. I think that the team might actually play a little bit better when they didn't have to constantly answer like questions after every game. They could be a little more focused, a little less worried about what the outside noise is. I promise you, though, after a week or two, they would be itching to give their side of the story and talk a little bit about what's going on. They would like miss the opportunity to at least explain themselves a little bit.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Like be clawing at their, like, I need to talk to a reporter about something. I need to tell them what's going on here.
You just did a full, what do you call it? Just a full blackout.
Media blackout.
Media blackout. Say, you know what? We're going to write the story as we see it on the field. We're going to read your body language. We're going to watch you in the dugout, but we are not going to be in the clubhouse.
But immediately, like, players would look at the story the next day and go,
That's not
what happened. That's
I want to talk to the media.
Yeah, I need to explain myself. They totally got this wrong. The reason we ask these questions, usually, hopefully, as media, is so we get a better understanding and we can present a more accurate, honest picture of what's going on to fans. That's why we do this every day.
But you heard him say, you know, we hear all your leading questions and all the questions. It's got to be tough. I am sympathetic to it. I would absolutely hate a camera shoved in my face every single day after every single show. Why'd you do that? Why'd you interrupt Ben? Why did Ben do this? I it would drive me crazy. So I do get it. You know, listen, I'm making an exorbitant amount of money to answer those questions every day. But I just popped in my head like, all right, what if the media said, you know what, Aaron? We're clearly getting to you.
It's an interesting hypothetical.
You go coach the Yankees, and we'll write what we want, and we'll leave you alone, and you leave us alone, and let's see where the chips fall at the end of the year. I think you're right. I think it'd be about 2 weeks before Aaron Boone would be like, does anybody want to talk to me? You know, Aaron Judge and, you know, Ben Rice are like, I got to talk to somebody. I think they'd lose their minds coming into clubhouse with nobody standing there. It's interesting.
All right. Well, we're a little behind, but I want to get to this doo-doo story as well.
DD mega doo-doo.
Because PCA is becoming a doo-doo regular.
This is awesome. I am a sucker. I will admit it. I am a sucker for athletes doing the easy. It's a few minutes out of your day and to see what it can do for your image as the athlete. And you're changing lives. You're making fans for life. And PCA just seems like such a likable, young, rising superstar for the Cubs.
Good kid, man.
So during the broadcast yesterday, Cubs dugout reporter Taylor McGregor had this story about these two kids in Wrigleyville who were hosting a lemonade stand right outside of the ballpark because, well, they wanted to raise money so that they could get their haircuts colored like PCA.
Yeah.
And here is her report as I pull it up right.
Justin Turner's wife, Courtney, was leaving Wrigley Field when she noticed a lemonade stand. She went to buy lemonade, and the kids told her they were raising money because one of their friends wanted his hair done like PCA with the blue star. So she called Justin and said, you need to stop by here. He did, only they didn't really recognize him, so he called PCA and said, you need to stop by there. And here's what happened.
He's gonna get stars in his head if we get enough money.
Yes, I heard.
Yeah.
He's getting better, boys.
I like what you guys are doing here.
Yeah, do you want me to autograph something else?
I got a picture with you.
Just want the paper towel.
He's autographing a paper towel.
Kids came unprepared.
It was awesome.
And then he ended up what? Giving them?
He gave them enough money. He bought some lemonade. He gave them enough money. They got the haircuts. That reporter posted a picture of the kids. They got the blue hair, the stars in it.
Awesome. Is it the right time to question these kids' Cubs fandom if they don't recognize one of the most recognizable Cubs in Justin Turner? He's really hard to miss. Like, big, like, bright red hair.
He's an old dude.
They're young kids.
They relate to the younger players.
Look, dude, if Ryan Burgert walked by in here, I may not know him, right? You know, if Fernando Tatis Jr. walked by, I'd be like, that's friggin' Fernando Tatis Jr. Yeah, it's weird, but it's a really cool move by PCA and Justin Turner and Courtney Turner for doing all that.
I loved it.
I loved that.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Wednesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
How many more lemonade stands are going to be set up in front of Wrigley Field now?
Yeah. No we are almost ready for Padres baseball. Sammy Leavitt is in the house. His AccuWater SoCal pregame show is coming up in about 25 minutes. So we got one segment left. We can talk more Padres baseball. Why was Brian Hoeing sent down to the minor leagues? And what else happened in baseball last night? Padres did lose a little bit of their lead, but got a lot of help as well around the big leagues. We can talk about it coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
Quickly, we want to tell you once again about 7 Mile Casino. Don't make a long drive out into the East County if you need to play cards. There are other card rooms in town, but they're like 45, 50, an hour drive and back, when the best card room is also the closest card room, just 7 minutes from downtown. And quite frankly, really no more than 15, 20 minutes from probably the majority of San Diegans, wherever you live, in town at 7 Mile Casino.
Well, we like things easy. We like things clean. We want to go in, have a great time, and be able to get on our way when we want. And that's super easy to do at 7 Mile Casino. Got everything you're looking for. Number one, smoke-free environment, so it doesn't have that, you know, that casino smell that we've all gotten accustomed to over the years. They got great food, friendly dealers, and all the best card games. California-style blackjack is my personal favorite, but Texas Hold'em is a great one. Baccarat and Pai Gow as well.
Can't make it this week. Check out the Sunday and Saturday brunch, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Voted best in the South County at Sammy's at 7 Mile. Just one of the many reasons to check out our place to play cards. Make it yours as well. 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Joe Musgrove said that his goal was to come back and pitch in the postseason for the Padres.
Sure.
I smiled and thought, good for you, Joe. It's good to have dreams, but that's not happening. Less than 12 months after Tommy John surgery, that's not happening. Might actually happen the way things are progressing. Got an update for you this morning from Kevin Acey's newsletter. Get to that and the moves the Padres made, and we'll get you to the Padres pregame show momentarily. First, though, a quick check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. In this hour on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Staples, calling all parents and teachers. At Staples, your back-to-school budget is officially saved by the button. The easy button, with supplies as low as 25 cents, plus laptops up to 40% off, and more deals on top brands and trending styles. Find it all at Staples. That was easy. Yes, according to Kevin Acey, speaking with the man himself in Miami, Joe Musgrove expects to throw his first full-intensity bullpen session next week. That means before August even hits, Joe will be back on the mound, which gives him 2 full months to work through any, you know, difficulty, get his timing back, get his mechanics back, and as he continues to set as a goal, return in time to be available for the Padres out of the bullpen if and should they make the playoffs in October.
Okay.
Wow.
Pretty impressive.
I mean, I'm like literally speechless.
I mean,
if that were to happen.
Yeah, what's the...
He's been throwing less than full intensity bullpens for 2 weeks already, like 80 to 85%. Says he's thrown every pitch except his sweeper.
Okay.
The plan was always to reintroduce that pitch later.
Okay.
First bullpen's just going to be fastballs,
yeah,
15 or so.
I think it's awesome. I do. I'm not going to hold out a ton of hope that Joe Musgrove is going to come out and pitch meaningful innings for the San Diego Padres in the playoffs, you know, get a start or anything like that. I don't know. I mean, there's a part of me that's, you know, extra cautious and says, I need you for the long haul next year. I need you to be 100%. And, you know, I know he puts in the work. There's never been a doubt about that. Guy knows his own body. I would hate for there to be some kind of setback or something that delays next season.
He says the most important thing is coming back as a full-time starter in 2026. He's not going to do anything to risk that. But even if he comes back and throws one inning, and even if it's a, let's say it's a postseason game, Potter's in the division series, and they're down like four runs, and it's the fifth inning, and they need someone to pitch one.
Yeah.
The emotional lift, I don't think, can be understated.
Okay. The Willis Reed effect.
Of Joe Musgrove walking to the mound. The reaction at Petco Park, do it at home, the teammates, how they feel. I just think that is a card that Mike Shildt would like to have available to play, possibly, if he needs it at some point in October.
You know, I do think in October you have to build your roster the best that you can possibly help. You know, to help you win a huge game.
But you don't need
game.
As deep of a bullpen as you do in the regular season.
You really don't.
You're not going to your eighth reliever.
No, you're really not.
You're not probably seeing Yuki in a big situation.
But wouldn't he be, in essence, one of those?
Like
your eighth.
But you still have to have him because the rules say you still need 13 pitchers and 13 position players. So you will have back-end guys. Yeah, I think they'd find a spot for Joe Musgrove for one of those series.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look forward to that. You know, I don't want to crawl. I don't want to walk before I crawl. You know, got to get to the dance first, and then we'll see what happens. And, you know, these bullpens that he's going to go full intensity, you know, got to see how he feels after that.
It's why a game like yesterday's in the postseason, not that they'll play the Marlins in the postseason, but they'll play games like that, back-to-back games where you used all your horsemen in the first game. But in the playoffs, you're always going to have an off day. There's no playoff scenario where you play usually more than like 2 days in a row. So you're going to have an off day the next day. You can use your horseman 2 days in a row at full intensity, knowing
100%.
They had an off day before, they'll have an off day after. Yeah. You can be aggressive no matter what. You can go to Morejon in the fifth inning in the playoffs 2 days in a row. And just go through all those guys. So you win a game like that.
Literally saw it last year.
You have a much better chance to win a game like that in the postseason. But you can't do that in the regular season all year long. Or you won't have those guys, you know, in September and October. So you have to try to let your other guys win a game like yesterday. You don't do that. Once it's October, you don't see Wanda
in a
big situation.
There's no
B team, you know, unless you're totally out of a game.
Yeah.
And you just don't want to, you know, use any bullets at the end. Those guys don't even get in.
I mean, we're nearing the end of July. We still have 2 full months of regular season ball, and we're already talking about, like, man, this offense needs to help out a little bit because these high leverage situations for this bullpen, are they, like, right now, if, let's just say, if no additions to the bullpen at least.
Right.
Can they continue the usage that they've done through the first 4+ months of the season for the next 2 months and still be healthy enough for the playoffs? I don't know. They're like, it's like you're revving a car engine into the red.
Yeah.
And it's only July.
Yeah.
Like, they really, we got to be more careful.
Obviously, some laughers would be fantastic. Honestly, and, you know, I hate to have that loser mentality, but some laughers either way.
Yeah.
Like, just a laugher in general. Like, if you're
we're never out of any game.
That's the thing, is if you're on the downside of a 12-1 loss, okay, man, I can take, you know, I got more baseball left to play.
Even 4-1 yesterday in the ninth felt like this game is over.
Yeah.
And it's a one-run ball game.
Tying run on
the
second. Yeah, man. you know, a laugher either way is kind of what you need down
the
stretch.
That proves just how important a bat or two is at the deadline, not just because it's going to help make the lineup look better, even aesthetically.
Yes.
It's because of the effect it's going to have on the pitching staff and the bullpen.
It's all connected, man. It's all connected. So, you know, I think starting pitcher for this team would be pretty ideal as well. And I think AJ's looking at some lesser names too. I can't remember who it was we spoke to. I think it was Eno. We talked to him maybe a month ago. He's like, look, dude, you know, those guys with the 5 ERAs, the Patrick Corbins and the Kyle Gibsons, like, yeah, man, they're not going to start playoff games for you. But, dude, they will get you to where you need to be.
And Martin Perez was
huge last year. Fantastic.
He was like a guy that we go, what?
And remember,
Martin Perez, the guy for the Pirates, why are we picking him up?
He
was huge.
He was a warrior for this team. And, you know, we decided, and I think we all agreed with it at the time, let's give Dylan Cease a start on 3 days rest. We could have started Martin Perez, who has gutted out starts for us all season long against the Dodgers. And hey, man, you know, it didn't work out. Hindsight's 20/20, as we all know. I wonder in his moments at home reflecting if Mike Schilt thinks maybe we should have gone with Perez instead of Dylan Cease on 3 days rest, because Martin really showed up for this team. He was great. I would kill to have another guy like that this year. Yeah.
As for the other bullpen question, Brian Hoeing sent down, along with Alec Jacob, in order to activate both Stephen Kolek and Kyle Hart back in the big leagues yesterday. I have not really seen an explanation other than Brian Hoeing has not been the pitcher he was last year.
Correct.
When he was at a 2.18 ERA, 1.7 WAR. He was like the best middle reliever in baseball last
year. He was awesome, man.
You know, did not pitch
for
months, got hurt in spring training, has had 7 appearances. His ERA doesn't look bad. I mean, 3.38, it's fine for a middle reliever. His whip is pretty high. It's 1.5. He's putting a lot of base runners on. My guess, and maybe Sammy heard something and can have more for you on the pregame show coming up. My guess is they see something that they want him to work on a little bit, and he will be a depth option. I doubt we've seen the last of Brian Hoeing. He's just not quite locked in like he was last season. He's capable of getting more locked in. Now, do I feel more confident in Brian Hoeing or Kyle Hart coming out of the bullpen?
It's Brian Hoeing.
I still feel more confident in Brian Hoeing, which is why I was scratching my head a little bit about that move yesterday before the game. I'm not sure what's going on here.
Honestly, man, I think it's one of those moves where you look at and go, all right, well, they know more than I do, and they have a reason for it. It's not a willy-nilly decision, certainly. Jesse was talking about on the broadcast, this team is and Schilt says it all the time, they're a very intentional team. They don't just throw darts at a board. Everything they do is with intent, and there's something about Brian Hoeing right now that is not scratching the itch that they need. You know what I'm saying? There's something that he needs to tweak, something he needs to hone. My guess is Mike Schilt is not going to abide putting guys on base for free.
Maybe they wanted someone with the ability to throw a little more length.
Yeah.
Kyle Hart is stretched out as a starter, throwing multiple innings still in El Paso. They felt like, hey, if Kolek comes up, and remember, he gave up 6 in the first inning against the Marlins the last time he was up, and they won that game. If that happens again, who's going to cover 4 innings? Because they didn't think Brian Hoeing could do it, so they had Kyle Hart ready just in case. We are not done yet, because Sammy's pregame show doesn't start for another 10-15 minutes, so we've got a few more minutes here to wrap up our short show. Padres did get help again from around baseball yesterday. They're still just 3.5 games behind the Dodgers because the Minnesota Twins picked up a 10-7 win yesterday against a sloppy Dodgers team that made a bunch of mistakes, including a 3-run throwing error by one of their relief pitchers on the mound. Just chaos. And despite a Shohei Ohtani home run for the fourth straight day. Dodgers lose again and drop a 10-7 decision. The Giants did win. They put Rafael Devers finally at first base.
How did he do?
He got 2 hits, and I don't think he certainly didn't cost him any runs because they didn't give up any in a 9-0 win over the Atlanta Braves. Wilmer Flores hit a 3-run home run, so the Giants did pull back within 2.5 games of the Padres. But guess what? The Rockies helped out by beating the Cardinals 8-4. Ryan McMahon with a 3-run bomb. And the Nationals helped out again, hammering the Reds 6-1 as Josh Bell homered for a 2nd straight day. So both of those teams still 3.5 back. Mets moved a little bit up in the 2nd wild card spot with a 3-2 win over the Angels. They brought Francisco Alvarez back. He had been so good. Remember how good he was as a rookie, the catcher coming up?
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened, but they said, you need to go back to the minors. It's not working. He came back and said, I learned something. I gained a little maturity from my time down there. He homered yesterday, and they're hoping that he finds that magic that he had his first kind of season and a half in the big leagues as he comes back.
I mean, it's the hardest game in the world. Just because you have success in your first year, even your first 6 weeks in the big leagues, it's just not promised to everybody throughout their career. And getting him back would be a huge, huge lift to the Mets who need help.
A couple other notes. The Brewers finally had their 11-game winning streak snapped. It took a Cal Raleigh home run, his 39th of the season, and 6 1/3 shutout innings from Logan Gilbert in a 1-0 win for the Seattle Mariners to end that Brewers streak. The Yankees got a Ben Rice home run in the 9th inning. They finally beat the Blue Jays 5-4 to even that series. Kyle Schwarber hit his 33rd. Phillies over the Red Sox 4-1. The Pirates continue to keep the Detroit Tigers sliding with an 8-5 win, beating them for a second straight day. And when you talk about the trade deadline coming up, the Texas Rangers are one team that have kind of been a one we've looked at as like Kyle Higashioka, Adelis Garcia. We even talked about Wyatt Langford. They may actually be playing themselves back into it. They're now just a game and a half back in the wild card race after another win yesterday. They are now 52-50, a game and a half back of the Red Sox, a game back of the Rays. I don't know that the Texas Rangers are sellers anymore. I don't know who would be available from the Texas Rangers at this point.
I still think you can get Kyle Higashioka away from the Texas Rangers. I do. I still think Higgy is a guy that you could get. I don't know how much PT he is getting there in Texas, Benny. But, again, just a perfect fit for what we're looking for here in San Diego. And, again, I think it's a no-brainer, natural fit, not going to cost you an arm and a leg to do it.
And if you believe the reporting from Jeff Passan, Kevin Acey, anything the Padres acquire, they kind of need to offset by trading away salaries as well in that buy and sell mode. You shake your head at it. Jeff Passan said the same thing, though.
And I shake my head at it because
I know you believe Jeff Passan.
I do. I shake my head at it. Well, I mean, he just said in his latest piece that dropped, the Padres could be the masters of the add and subtract. You know, it's tough when you start talking about the pieces that you could trade. Robert Suarez is up there, passing list him. You think about Jake Cronenworth, you think about Luis Arraez. Does it do something to the clubhouse to get rid of a Luis Arraez? I think the answer is yes. Does it do something to the clubhouse to get rid of a Jake Cronenworth? I think the answer is yes. I do, and I do think you have to factor that in. The continuity that Mike Schilt loves so much, the continuity that A.J. Preller has learned to embrace over the last few years, whereas before, it was not. And we talked to guys at spring training. They're like, dude, trade deadline? I mean, don't get close to anybody on this team because they're shipping 5, 6, 7, 8 guys out at a time, bringing in 6, 7, 8 new guys. And they got to get, you know, they got to get acclimated to the way the Padres play baseball. I'm a believer in chemistry. I'm a believer in continuity. I am. And I kind of... What are we talking about, though? Like, we can't make a move unless we unload Jake Cronenworth's salary? Then we're in worse position than I thought, and I don't know that we're in a position to win a World Series.
Or, and this is the part of the Hector Gomez rumor that I do tend to believe. I'm kind of like you. I'm very, very skeptical that Marcelo Ozuna is going to be a Padre. But whoever is a Padre, I wouldn't be Shay, like they did with the Luis Arraez, to get the other team to pay the rest of the salary this year.
Correct.
So they can try to stay under the second luxury tax threshold.
That overpay for Luis Arraez, though, does not look like an overpay.
It doesn't,
point.
But at the time, it was considered that. I mean, it was also considered a bit of a fleecing by A.J. Preller. Yeah, we get a Luis Arraez, and you're going to pay his entire salary for this year. Wouldn't be surprised to see another deal along those lines where A.J. throws in another body. But hey, for that you're paying an extra $3 or $4 million, whatever whoever you're picking up their salary for rest of the year, so we don't hit more luxury tax penalties.
Padre fans aren't dumb, man, and KG just nails it. He says the idea that the team with the second highest attendance in the entire league wants to offload more payroll is disgusting. Frankly, I agree. Don't get budgety on us now. This is a good baseball team. They are a good baseball team, and they are very, very much in it. Getting guys back that can really help you in your ultimate goal.
I wouldn't look at it as offloading payroll. There is, every team has a budget limit other than one. Even the Yankees have kind of a limit which they're willing to go to. Padres are way up there in terms of where they're spending. You can't always say, just spend more.
Why not? It's
because every team has a budget limit. Every single one does.
Budget limits are movable. Your budget changes. Do you stick to your budget every month? I know I sure as hell don't. Paulie, do you stick to your budget every month?
No.
Yeah.
Sometimes things change.
It's not nothing set in stone.
You can say, okay, fine. Then you can go over the budget. Then you have to make up for it the next month, which is fine. Padres have been going over their budget the last few years. That when is the bill due? When does the piper get paid? You never want to pay the piper.
All I know
as a
is
fan,
the
you never want to pay the piper.
The piper's paid at Petco Park 42 times so far this season or something. Crazy. I can't. It's hard for me to wrap my head around. And I understand it. You made some bad deals. Not my problem. Those are your, that's your problem. You made those deals. And if you need to find a way out from under it, at the expense of the chemistry of this team in a real legitimate playoff push, that's a tough pill for me to swallow as a fan. It really is. I know I spend a lot of money out of Petco Park. I know a lot of people do.
Cubs fans pack their park. They're sure. In contention. They spend a lot of money. They're not going to spend more than they want to either.
But we'll see.
That's just the reality of it.
We'll see.
All right, we are done. Wow, that went fast.
Done, or we have more?
We're done.
Okay.
Sammy Levitt's coming up next with our EcoWater SoCal pregame show. We will be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. full show, and we'll give you a roundtable as well. So until then,
yes.
For Paulie, for Woods, I'm Ben. Have a great rest of your day. Go Padres here on 97.3 The Fan.